Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love, we're covering it so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
Shalom, shalom, everyone. Grace and peace in Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Grace and peace.
Shalom.
Hallelujah. Shalom. That's fine. Shalom.
Shalom.
Amen. How does small sound? This mic.
Sounds okay.
Say again.
It sounds okay.
Okay. Yeah. Just want to make sure it's working. Is it working?
Yes, I hear you loud and clear.
Thank you. Shalom, Sister Mary.
Shalom, Shalom, Sister Rhea.
Shalom, Sister Mary. Shabbat. Oh.
I knew you were going to do it.
Shabbat.
Shalom, Queen. My elder sister. I love you. Shalom.
Blessings. I love you guys, too.
I know.
It was good to hear Sister Shemaya yesterday, too.
I know, huh? I'm trying to see if she's on the line now. I'm meeting everybody's line, so... Let's see if she's on. Sister Shemaya, are you there?
Good morning. Good morning. Yes, I am. I wasn't going to miss it today. Good morning, Sister Mary. Yes, thank you. It
good
was
morning,
great lesson
Sister
yesterday.
Maya.
As always.
Yes, always. You know, it's like I know what you even look like.
Really?
No, isn't that crazy?
Yes. I'm still going to make my way up there. I'm working on it.
Hey, you know, honey, we waiting on you.
Okay.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Man, this is so
loud. Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
Well, should we get into this freestyle? Get into this. Damn, we're dealing with foolish women in the church. Yesterday we were dealing with our mothers in the church. You know, they on top of it. They doing what's up. That's what we call today balling, right? But then the Lord said, but if we allow sin to reign in our members, then we become the foolish, the five foolish. Because the only way you can be the five foolish is that you know what's right.
Amen.
Remember now, all of them had oil in their candles. But the five wise made sure that they had oil in their candles till the kingdom came.
Mm-hmm.
So the wise is who we're talking about on the Sabbath day. These are the ones that didn't keep the oil in their candles.
Mm-hmm.
that's what we're talking about today.
The ones that what?
The five foolish.
Okay.
All right, but we're dealing with them in metaphors. We'll get to them in the end.
Mm-hmm.
God willing, we can get to this lesson, but. Amen. So the title of this precept is Foolish Women in the Church.
Okay, so foolish women of the church?
In the church.
Oh, in
the in it. No, in it. You know, remember now, when we dealt with that adultery, we had, she said she paid her vow, so she's inside of the camp. That's not outside, that's inside. So, this is the same thing.
Okay. Okay, so close from in the church.
Amen.
And the scripture that I used was, so the scripture I used for today was Proverbs 14:1. Every wise woman builds her house, but the foolish pluck it down with her hand.
Exactly.
So still use that same scripture.
That's the same script. Because that script was written before there was a kingdom or a heaven. The same thing, because if sin is introduced in the world, that got to exist. So Adam don't sin, that don't exist, just like death.
Mm-hmm.
If Adam don't sin, death don't never come into the picture. So if Adam don't sin, that don't exist. But when Adam sinned, that came into existence, because that's a law. So there's a such thing as a foolish woman according to the law.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
All right. Do we have an opening script?
Okay. And the title of today's lesson?
Foolish Women in the Church.
Okay. Foolish Women in the Church.
So, if we can get our brothers and sisters, if you can stand and face Jerusalem. Brothers, uncover your head if possible, and sisters, cover your heads if possible, as we approach the Father.
Mm-hmm. Amen. In my distress, I called unto the Lord, and he heard me. Deliver my soul, Lord, from lying lips, and from a deceitful tongue. What shall be given unto thee, or what shall be done unto thee, thou false tongue? Sharp arrows and of the mighty, with coals of Jupiter. Woe is me, that I sojourn in Meshech, that I dwell in the tent of Kedar. My soul hath long dwelt with him that hateth peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of the word, Psalms 120, verses 1 through 7. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. In Jesus' heavenly name we pray. Heavenly Father, have mercy on our sins and allow us into your kingdom. Father, have mercy and send forth both physical and spiritual gifts upon us.
Mm-hmm.
Father, have mercy on our teachers, our elders, and our brethren and their family. Father, have mercy on those that don't know you, God, but delight in blessing us because they see your light and kindness upon us, Father. Have mercy on them and their families as well. Father, have mercy on our children and our children's children and their families. Father, have mercy and give us a mind to perceive, eyes to see, ears to hear, and a mouth to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and faith to perform.
And Father, have mercy on them to hear us and give them a mind to perceive, eyes to see, ears to hear, and a mouth to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and a faith to perform. In Jesus' heavenly name, we pray for your mercy endure forever. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, the title of today's precept is Foolish Women in the Church. Now, let me put this disclaimer out there for those righteous sisters in the camps. This don't pertain to you if we pertain it to the, if we do those things just according to the scripts, right?
Amen.
Right? Okay, so there's no reason for you to be offended if we talk about these things, because you're doing those things that's not pertaining to these things that the Lord is talking about. So why be upset? So we're going to talk about these things because we need to know these things. Why? Because we got friends and stuff like that are performing things like that, and these things will be added to us. We got to know what spirits were entertaining both man and beast, sister. So, that being said, let's get started in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 1. 1 Timothy 5 and 1. First Timothy 5 and verse 1. First Timothy 5 and 1.
Okay.
And it runs down, actually, this is the law of the house. You know, we were just talking about that, like maybe 30 minutes before we get here. But this is actually the law of the house. Pay attention, really close attention to this here. This is not a script. We want to say these, the New Testament letters, no, they're still the law. It's the spirit. So what are you talking about? That's confusing in your own sight. But anyway, 5:1, when you receive it, read.
Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 1 reads, "Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren."
Now, it didn't say, it didn't bring no stipulations with that. That's somebody who's in the Word or who's outside the Word. You don't know where the Word of God is coming from. So we can't be respected persons if you got somebody in front of you with gray hair. That's where you stand if you are serving a God, right? So you're gonna give all elders their honor, regardless whether you think they are, because you don't know who the Lord is using.
Amen to that one. You don't know who the Lord is using. Amen.
But entreat him as a father, whether they're greater, whether they're small or great, right? It don't make any difference where they're at in the world. If they older than you, you don't get a chance to disrespect them, because you don't know. They know what it's like to be you. You don't know what it's like to be them. You 25, you don't know what it's like to be 26. They 35, you don't know what it's like to be 26, let alone 35. You have no choice but to be quiet. That's the first principle of generation. When you get to that, then you get to this. Then the house is secure because everybody know where their place is. Continue.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. 2.
Mm-hmm. 1 Timothy 5 and 2. "The elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters, will all purity."
See, you don't be judging younger sisters because they're in competition with the women of the world right now. You can't do that. Only thing you can do is to try to keep them in the God in the guideline of the God of Israel, 21st century, without them losing their mind into this madness that the world is going into. You know what I mean? It is a such thing as modesty. Those things still exist. But elder women is not to be envious because, you know, you didn't pass your prime and, you know, and you looking at the young sister not trying to help her to be a better person. You know what I mean? And showing her what to do with herself so that she don't embarrass herself in the world.
Amen.
That's what a real elder woman, a mother in the church would do. You wouldn't be envious.
Amen.
You will be there.
Amen.
Read that again.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Hold on a moment. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 1. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters with all purity. Honor widows that are widows indeed. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God.
See the law? That was the family law right there, right? That the children is supposed to be in behavior of the elders at all times. Regardless if she was a widow or no, children is never supposed to jump out of their place. You see, and we can't teach children that, or else we're teaching our children that we're preparing them for the fire. If we teach them that, and a lot of us are doing that by keeping our children from their father. Or perpetuating that. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So we can't do that because that's against the laws of everything and that's according to the family.
Amen.
Continue.
Mm-hmm. Verse 5. Now she that is a widow indeed, and the are you going to go back up to 1 and 3?
No, that's too far.
Okay.
Just pick it up where you are.
Okay. So I'm going to do 1 Timothy 5 and 1. Rebuke not an elder, but
can start again.
Mm-hmm. As a father and the younger men as brethren. The elder women, amen. The elder women, amen. As mothers, the younger as sisters with all purity. Honor widows that are
piety.
Piety. It's purity. P-U-R-I-T-Y. With all purity. Honor widows that are widows indeed.
Oh.
If any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home.
Stop. Look that up. Define that.
Mental piety.
Yeah. That's their first principle. This is not ours. It's the children's toward the household. What that means?
Piety means devoutness, devotion.
Mm-hmm. So they devoted to what we're teaching them how to be as a family or a house, right? Mm-hmm. They're devoted to those things. Go ahead.
Religion, holy.
So that's the foundation. That's what the Lord said. When your children grow up and they ask you what these things mean, then you're supposed to be able to tell them, well, the God of Israel delivered us out of Egypt. And then you're supposed to teach them the laws and statutes. Continue.
Holiness, godliness, sanctity.
Those conversations are supposed to exist. Why? Because you do have a thing called ungodliness.
Mm-hmm.
And the sanctification means pure, but then we got those of us that are not pure. We need to know the difference. Continue.
godliness, sanctity, sanctitude, devotion to God, very nation, right?
You got some of us that's inside the camp that don't believe in God. Really don't. Then you got those of us that really believe in God. That's a double-edged there. Wow.
All right. And it also states, veneration, reverence, faith, religious duty, spirituality, sacredness, religious zeal.
That don't have nothing to do with this world. So why are we giving this Western world any root in anything that belongs to Jesus? Mm-hmm. Nothing. This Western world gets nothing.
Amen.
So why are we teaching our children to accept it? This Western world is going to be destroyed.
Amen.
Why are we teaching our children to be destroyed with it? James, let's get back into this Timothy. We left off at verse 5.
Timothy 5:5. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day.
That's where the kingdom at. Because our God gave his life for us. So we're a widow. Indeed. And desolate. Because who's here to take care of widows? Did I? Continue.
Verse 6. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. And these things give in charge that they may be blameless.
See, we've got to be careful with the spirit of fornication. We want to talk about the law, do you know the law? Now we want to talk about what is blameless. Continue.
Amen, verse 8. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith, and is worse than an infidel.
So, if you're not taking care of your crib or not providing those things that's necessary, like a roof over your head, then that makes you unfaithful and an unbeliever. Because an infidel is an unbeliever. And if you're unbelievable, you're unfaithful. So, your first principle is to make sure you got a roof over your head, right?
Amen.
To you.
Amen.
That's both man and woman. Right.
Verse 9. Let not a will be taken into the number under 80 years old.
What?
Having been the wife of one man.
Who got a testimony of that? That they only know one rich
chamber.
I'm just saying. If not, then I suggest that we should be just quiet and thank the Father for allowing us to even come into the presence of his mercy, right?
Amen.
Because that alone is destruction, correct?
Yeah.
Continue.
Okay. First Timothy 5:9, let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years, having been the wife of one man. Well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted.
Who did she that? I'm going to ask some moms, who had that witness? Who have that witness? I'm just saying, you know, if we want to sit up and say we're serving God, then you've done these things before him, right?
Amen.
If you're saying we serve God, then you have washed the saints' feet.
Amen.
Yeah. Wow.
Amen. Verse 11.
No. Read 10 again.
10? Okay. 1 Timothy 5:10. Well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. But the younger widows refuse, for when they have begun to wax wanting against Christ, they will marry. Verse 12. Having damnation because they have cast off their first faith, and withal they learn to be idle.
What?
And withal they learn to be
idle. So that's the introduction of the spirit to foolishness. Mm-hmm. On every level, it don't matter where you at. That's the introduction of that sin. That's right there. He's telling you right here. He's saying that they start wondering. Because they got too much time on me.
Amen.
Continue. Read that 13 again.
1 Timothy 5:13. And withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not.
See, they're going too far. See, this is what happens when, you know, you had a head or you have a head and you're not giving them their honor. You're doing too much. Continue.
Verse 14. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachably. For some are already turned aside after Satan. If any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged, that it may be relieve them that are widows.
So look, so that's what your tithes is for, is to make sure that they're what they care for.
Widows.
The ones that's been faithful in the camp, widows. That if they come to the camp for anything, any need whatsoever, because they trusted that they've been paying their tithes. Yo, their husband worked all their life and sat before this place, and now I'm in need of your assistance. It should be no questions asked.
That's like Sister Mary. Amen. That puts me in mind of Sister Mary. Amen.
That puts me in mind, you know, of what things that get you in the kingdom.
Right. But right now, when you just, I just read that, her face came into my presence.
Oh.
And you just read that, you just made that statement. That's an example of what we just read.
Well, you're speaking of those things. That's according to their faith.
No, that's what we just read what the Lord said.
I get that. That's what I'm saying. That's first fruits of the day. So you don't. That's there. And now you saying that, and I'm saying now. Okay, I get it. But that's first fruits. No matter what.
Okay, man. First fruits, no matter what. Amen.
But here.
Amen. And you're going in circles.
No, that the camp is supposed to always see.
Take care of
the
what?
The widow.
And who else?
And the fatherless.
Anybody else? The widows, the fatherless, and what else? The church is supposed to take care of.
The poor.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Okay. That's the three, right? Because,
mm-hmm.
Aside from that, we shouldn't be drawn. We should be there to help the church to make sure that those things, those needs are met.
Amen.
You know, if you're not in those conditions, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1.
Amen. Timothy 2 and 1.
1 Timothy 2 and 1.
Oh, this your phone, babe?
Yeah.
All right. 1 Timothy 2 and 1?
Yeah.
1 Timothy 2 and verse 1 reads, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and the giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and not a lie, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, without wrath and doubting. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Let the women learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve.
Now, that's a letter from God. That's the Holy Spirit. How can we testify or, you know, you do anything with that? He just told you exactly what the household order is right there. There's nothing we can say that could circumvent that and on any level. So if the house is in this order and this house is ran in this order, it's going to be blessed indeed.
Right.
Okay. Let's look at this a little further. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 2 and 8. 2 and 8. And he's talking about the aged women becoming, when you get older, you're supposed to be even more godly, mm-hmm. not less godly. Oh, you know, like you got the women in the world. If you look at the women that don't know God in the world, right, they're still trying to be sexy. But the women that know God are supposed to be more, even more godly. And even more modest. Not the difference. Abraham's wife, Sarah, was beautiful. But she wasn't dressed like the women of the world to testify of those things. A man know what a beautiful woman looked like without her being naked. Continue.
Amen. So what I want you to go to?
1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8.
So 1 Timothy 2:8 again. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting.
Amen. Continue.
In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, Never parted hair, gold, or pearls, or costly or red.
See, don't get caught up in that nonsense. Even though those things are good things, I'm not saying that there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with a woman if you're in that position to go front yourself off with a $5,000 or $10,000 dress. God willing, go get that joint and wear that to the 10th power. That's not what time it is. Don't make that be the end of you. That's not what it is. That's just a thing that the Father just allowed you to be able to obtain. That's it. But that's not what you're about if you're a woman of God. Because that's not what Sarah was about. Sarah was richer than any of us can imagine. You understand? She had her own mansion, or we would say in the 21st century, her own palace in the 21st century. And Abraham would have had his own castle. You understand? She would have had her palace, and he would have had a castle. That's how it would be in the Western world. If we will look at it, we can kind of draw our minds around that kind of thing. But that wasn't her end, because when you listen to the conversation of Sarah, you would never got that she had her own tent with servants. So her beauty really was the inward man, because that's the first thing you get, right?
Amen.
Continue.
Okay. Amen.
9.
Amen. 1 Timothy 2 and 9.
Yes, ma'am.
In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works.
So don't just be running your mouth, be about it, right? Don't talk about it, be about it. If you say you're about this, you're about good works, then be about good works. You're about godliness, then be about godliness. Don't be front. You've been lying to yourself, and, you know, you call those things hypocritical spirits, right? Continue.
Amen. Okay, verse 10. But which becometh women professing godliness with good works? Verse 11. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence.
Now, that comes with understanding.
Teach, right.
Because how will we look at this in any level, except for the fact that we're speaking of as a part of the pulpit, right, or the priesthood? With all that being said, our kings and our prophets were taught by women. What do you mean? Our king had sent our prophets to a sister that was in a college to break down the prophecy. Our kings was taught by our mothers about the kingdom of God. So it's not that the conversation ain't there. It's a matter of where it exists and where it's supposed to be, where it's not supposed to be. That's what time that is, because we all got our own place before God. Because you say, my sons and daughters going to do what? Prophesy. That's prophecy, man. You can't break that law. That law is never going to be broken. But we got our place. So now he's showing us where we can and where we can't. That's all to it. We got our place, because we all got a work to do. Continue.
Amen. First Timothy 2 and verse, or is it 5?
No, 2 and 10.
First Timothy 2 and 10?
Yes, ma'am.
Amen. 1 First Timothy chapter 2 and verse 10 reads, "But which becometh women professing godliness with good works? Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection."
Stop. So that's how you get good work. That subjection of silence. What do you mean? Because the Word of God talks about that. He talks about the law of kindness coming from the wife, from the virtuous, right? And how the virtuous win their husband with chaste conversation. That's this. It's not talking about silence like a doula, like a mute. It's telling you how to approach your husband or even God in Christ with this spirit. A quiet, a humble spirit, not loud and clamorous. That's the foolish. We'll get into that. This is not the elder women. The elder women of our fathers did not have that conversation. They want their husbands on this one.
Amen.
We don't.
Twelve. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence.
Now,
for Adam was first formed, then Eve.
So. He said, I suffer not a woman to teach, nor usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Mm-hmm. So what do usurp mean?
To take over.
Read the definition of it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, usurp. Mm-hmm.
That 21st century stuff is beautiful. Also, on 7-Eleven.
To take
what?
A position of power.
Ooh! Give honor!
A position of power are important.
Ooh!
To illegally force.
Illegally! You're breaking the law on every level.
To illegally force or take by force.
See, you can't tell your, you can't do that.
To seize, to take over, to exasperate, to take possession of,
can't do
to take,
it.
To appropriate, to steal.
That 21st century woman here, what we call that independent spirit, can't exist with that.
To steal.
It's called you a thief? If you're stealing his authority, you're stealing it. And it's a law when you steal that you bring a curse upon yourself. Not only upon yourself, but your house and everything you're doing. That's what a foolish woman would do. Not a wise one. Continue.
Amen. To steal, to rest, to aggregate, commander, assume, to take the place of, to illegally take the place of, watch as the plant, to overthrow, to remove, to topple, unseat, dispose, dethrone, eject, dispel.
Okay. All right, that's good enough. We found out what usurp authority means, so we can't read none of those things written from Sarah, Rebecca, or Leah. We can't read those witnesses against them that they usurped authority above their husbands. So this is a good thing. This is that. This is. It's not about, you know, being in silence, like, you know, you're mute. Because if it was, you can read that amongst Leah and Rachel that they wasn't mute because their conversation is in heaven, right? Because the 12 gates of Jerusalem in New Jerusalem is named by them. So how is it that they are silent in the church when the kingdom gates is named by women? That come with understanding. And we understand this is the law of that. Now, with all that being said, we do have a foolish woman that's also inside the camp. Let's look at that. Let's go into Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1.
Amen. Genesis 3 and 1. Genesis 3 and verse 1 reads, "Now the serpent was more subtile than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, had God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?"
So who is he talking to? His first conversation is to the woman anyway. Why? Because he know that she is access to the future. What do you mean? The children. I get her, I get the future. Continue. Oh, 21st century? Let's look at that. Public aid system? Continue.
Amen. Verse 2. "And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doeth know that in the day ye will eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and shall be ye shall be as God, knowing good and evil."
Where is Adam? Why is she having this conversation? Why is she having this conversation with anybody else other than her husband or God? See that? See how the devil just came in? See, that's the door. Now, he get to her, he just got to the future, he just got to the house. The whole house is destroyed. Now, without wisdom, if we're foolish, or if we're a foolish wife, then this is the road that we're going to end up on. This one, destruction. We're talking to the devil now. Where's the husband? Not even supposed to be there. If the husband is not there, you're not supposed to be there, because it's going to lead to death. Did you lose your place?
No. Okay, so you're going to use 7? So Genesis 3 and 6, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat." And
stop. She took of the fruit and said, "Husband, look what this is." She ate it first, or did she present it first?
"And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eye."
That's why she was in transgression.
"And a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat."
That's when she became in transgression. And that's when the door of sin entered into the world for women. Right there. All the sin that women do on this planet is, that door is open right there at that moment. That's why we got sin. That's why you got the wickedness in this world right now that women is being subjected to. Right there at that time. Right there. That's where the devil's at. She didn't see this coming. I don't know how long Eve lived. We don't. We know Adam lived to be 900, so he got a good chance to see what happened to this world and the women of it. And I can only assume that Eve also had an opportunity to see the sin that she brought into this planet. So this is the door that will cause your house to fall, or the whole world to fall, or your world to fall as you know it. Everything. This thing right here, this door, dealing with the devil at this point will cause everything in your life will be destroyed. And this is what happened. God is showing us right out the gate. Now, are we wise or are we foolish? Continue.
Verse 7. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were.
That's what it's saying, because it's sitting in the temple. After you've performed it, you're like, oh my God, what have I done?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Now you're really guilty.
Not presumptuously
sinning. Yeah, presumptuously sinning. Not ignorance, but sumptuously. The things that I would do, that I would not, but that would I would not, that I do, that's for sumptuous all day long. Continue.
And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves.
Now the sin, now we see that the sin upon us now. Now what you going to do? You're going to hide in your lie. In your sin. That's the first thing you do when sin, because remember now, before they were naked and they were not ashamed, but what happened is when sin comes into the picture, now here comes secrets. You're not open anymore. You're not naked anymore. That's the first principle of jealousy. See, the Lord talk about the spirit of jealousy. He's talking about he's a jealous God. So it's not an emotion, it's a spirit. So if a woman is talking to another individual or another spirit, then the spirit of jealousy jumps on a man because it's written in the law.
And as I go for the woman, when a man is talking to another woman, then the spirit of jealousy comes upon her as well because they're one flesh. Yeah.
Not if the spirit. Hold on. I agree. If it's not dealt with directly.
What?
Hold on. Well, we'll talk about that. But what was I at?
Talking about
the spirit of jealousy. Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. Now here it is. Now this one I'm getting at. Right. Read on. Watch this. Go ahead.
Am I in Genesis 3 and verse 8 is showing me? And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said to him, where art thou? And he said, I heard the voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou was naked?
Stop. I didn't say, I don't talk to you like that.
What?
Where you get that from?
Get what from?
No, listen to that.
Who told us thou was naked?
Where you get that from?
What are you talking about?
See? That's the first thing. See, that's the second principle of jealousy.
What?
Where you get that from? We don't talk about that. We don't sound like that. Where you get that at? Listen to what he said.
Amen.
Okay. This is the whole thing. The first principle of that, he said, who told you that that was naked? Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, that's where the spirit kicked in for him, the spirit of jealousy. That's why it's not sin. The spirit of jealousy for God kicked in right there.
It's not sin. Okay.
You see, the spirit of jealousy kicked in right then and there because he was like, who told you? Who you been talking to other than me? Who you been addressing other than me? Concerning things that I should be supposed to be talking to you about. That only you and I supposed to be talking about. That was the spirit of jealousy. That's when he said, I'm a jealous God. This is that thing. So we have to be very, very careful of where we get our conversation from. Because the thing is, he said he created us in his image. So if he's created us in his image, then everything about him will reflect him. But then here comes something else, like the Lord talk about planting seeds in the vineyard, and then here come wild fruit, or here comes something else other than what he planted. Where did that come from? So now there goes the spirit of jealousy being introduced into the creation for the first time. When your God said, I'm a jealous God, there it is right there. That's when it was introduced into the creation. You can't find that nowhere else before this. Who told you that you were naked? And then he addressed it. Continue.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Verse 9. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, what art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou not eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is it that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou...
Stop. Now, the first thing he said, who told you that thou was naked?
Naked?
It, before that, there's no spirit of jealousy. Let me idolatry right there. First thing, that's the first principle of idolatry right there. Not to address your God. We don't. And it says this, and he said, the woman that you gave me, now, here comes flesh. I'm going to blame you for it because if it weren't for her, you bring her into my existence, I'd have just been fine with whatever. It's your fault. You brought her to me. Let's see where that gets you. Go into Job chapter 31 and 33. Yeah, Job 31 and 33. Let's see how far that gets you. When you receive it, read.
Yeah. Job chapter 31 and verse 33 reads, if I covered my transgressions as Adam by hiding my iniquity in my bosom.
What is that going to get you? What did it get Adam? What did it get him? It got him dead. If Adam's first principle was to repent and beg God for forgiveness, then maybe he would have received it. But since it wasn't, then he did it. See that?
Amen.
Let's go to Genesis chapter 3. Just pick it up at verse 12.
Genesis 3, chapter 12 reads, "And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. 15. And I will put enmity between me and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And to the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee."
Stop. That was the introduction to sin to the woman. Now, all the sins of the world is in Genesis 3 and 16. And all the sins of the world is forgiven in St. John chapter 3 and 16. I didn't write that. Let's look at that. Let's look at let's go into Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and 25. No, I don't want to read that. I want to read these definitions. Yeah. I want to read definitions toward this Genesis 3 and 16. I want you to read greatly. He said, unto woman, he said, I will. Because now, sin, remember now, she was created to be a helpmeet. But now that sin came to the picture, here come those things that the Lord considered extra. So, there's an antidote. If you know that these things exist, there's an antidote. The first word is this, greatly.
Very large, abundant, big.
So, greatly multiply thy sorrows according to who? Adam. Because that's the only person on the planet he could be judged against. There is. So, no matter what, you're going to feel it more. Multiply.
Multiply?
Yeah. Enlarge means I'm going to expand whatever you're dealing with. Yeah. So what do multiply mean?
Multiply.
What do you say?
Multiply to increase, reproduce, add.
So I'm gonna add more to your sorrows to Adam's. Whatever Adam going through, you're gonna go through more. That's why when a man don't know things that pertain to God, and he approached a woman and she said, "I'm going through something. You should know what I'm going through." And he like, "I really don't." That's because he really don't, because nobody taught him this. that this is Genesis 3:16, that is the devil's in the darkness of the foolish. Now, if she wanted to be delivered, then she would search those things out and then call on the Lord to deliver herself from those things. But you have to search these things out to be delivered from them. What's the next one? Let's look up sorrow. Conception. Yes, sorrow. I'm going to multiply that sorrow with the word sorrow. Because you don't get this from Sarah and Rebecca and Leah. Well, maybe, yeah, you don't get that from them, but this is of the spirit of the foolish. Because that's what happened with foolish. He said foolish, the foolish back is for many strikes. Of course, that's not all right. We don't.
So, be very upset. Be very grieved, agonized.
So that sounds like all of it wrapped in one. He just said, I'm going to greatly multiply your sorrow. He just said it. To be very upset. To be very aggravated. So chances are you're going to point that energy at the next person that you are looking at, which is probably your husband or children, if you don't have one. But if you don't know that these things exist, then those things will actually manifest themselves and really become out of control. This is why the divorce rate in this world is so awful. Continue.
Sorrow, very upset, grieved, agonized, bemoan, be sad, be well.
So he said, you got your bills paid, you got a brand new crib, you got servants, you got multiple rides, you got a servant to pick you up and take you wherever you go, and you upset. You sad. You want to commit suicide. That's that spirit. But if you don't know it's there, then you won't know it's there. Let's look at the next one. Conception. Conception. Let's look up that word.
Conception. Understanding.
So you don't have a problem with understanding? You know what understand means? That means standing in submission to the things that's in front of you. That's the first thing you're going to have a problem with is submission. Understanding. You got our 5%ers that will never use the word understand. They will always, our 5%ers will say overstand on any level. You're talking to them is like talking to somebody else in another world. But but I get that science stuff. And I understand right here what this means because this is my understanding before God. So he's saying this. You're going to have a problem with understanding before God. Read on. What else it says? Conception.
Appreciation.
This is the biggest argument among married couples is that she don't appreciate the work that goes into the things that she's benefiting from. You know. But if you're a man of God, then you will understand these things unless they're excessive. And there is a law about that when they are excessive. But first principle is that this is that. She's not going to appreciate your thing. It's like we don't appreciate the blood of Christ. That he gave his life for us and he's our husband. God forbid our physical life. So, who has the greatest sin? I mean, when you look at it like that, it's like a reflection of our own faith. Continue.
Amen. Apprehension, communing.
So she got a problem with communing. Why? Because the Word of God tells her to commune with the chaste conversation, but if she hasn't been taught that, you don't hear that clamorous.
I know, but what about the women that do change into a chaste conversation and they get clamorous conversation from their husband? Women that
That's because they haven't been taught.
Wait, no. There's women that say, okay, Lord.
I ain't talking about them. I'm talking about the husband.
Okay. Wait, so you're telling me that there's men of God, teachers, preachers.
Of course.
Men that go to church, that their wife said, okay, Lord, I see what I was doing wrong. I've been clamorous. So let me use chaste conversation with my husband. And the time that they choose is you take it, oh, now you want, and they say, babe, I'm talking to you calmly, smoothly. Then, oh, now you want to talk calmly, smoothly to me. Yes. So it's not.
That's not like he don't trust her.
It's no, not
like
it's not about trust.
Yeah, it is.
Wait
because
a minute.
Why he should be
trusting. He shouldn't even be doing that because he's a man of God.
But yeah, but why?
No,
he,
so he should say, it has nothing to do with trust. Say, okay, no. She recognizes her ill.
So if he trusted that she repented, then why is he questioning it?
So she repented, and now I see why the Lord said work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, because she repented. She's reading the word. Her husband is teaching her the word. She's listening to the word. She's keeping the Sabbath law of Sabbath commandments. She said, okay, Lord, I see my ill. Thank you, Father. So then the next time something happens, she said, okay, I'm going to use chaste conversation. Or maybe I might not say nothing at all. So if she says nothing at all, or if she uses chaste conversation, the husband still grills on her and says, oh, now you want to use chaste conversation? Now you want to don't say nothing? Now you want to keep it? No.
Is that how husbands sound?
Yes.
Why?
All husbands.
Why?
That's
terrible.
It's very terrible.
Why do you feel like that?
No, not me, only other females.
Why would you say that?
Because I'm telling you the truth right now.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
I don't sound like that.
Who said I said I'm talking
you said
about
all husbands.
Stop.
No.
No.
I don't sound like that. Excuse you.
You don't sound like
no. That. No, I don't. Excuse
okay.
you.
So if I'm using chaste conversations that you want to bring yourself into,
I said, is that how husbands sound? And you say yes, and that included me.
So if I'm trying to talk to you in the name of Jesus,
oh, so now we're being direct.
You just
we're being more direct.
I didn't say anything about Job Israel.
Well, you did in the beginning.
Okay, so. Right now,
I'm being
very direct.
Okay,
now
we're
opening up.
That's good. Okay. I was there out the gate when I asked you about husband.
Okay, so when I am using chaste conversation with you in Jesus' mighty name.
Come on, I that will get me.
Okay, and I am talking to you with a chaste meet conversation.
Yeah, I guess.
And the Lord is saying,
say
don't do that. Don't say that. This is how you're supposed to respond. And you still be aggressive. Oh, I don't want to hear that. You want to bring that up? So let's bring it up. Oh, you were just saying that. You did that. Are you being what the Lord told you to be to your wife? Yeah. And saying, baby, you know what? I'm glad you recognize
that. I'm being an asshole because I feel like you.
Oh, thank you. So you're being an ass? No, I'm not happy. I want you to be delivered from this.
Well, are you good though?
No, I'm glad that you're doing this.
Are you good though?
No.
I know where I'm at now. You're good.
So
now
I'm going to move on. That you're doing this right now.
Amen.
And then we're going to move on because amen. You mentioned yourself. I didn't say nothing about you.
We got pause in the lesson.
No, we don't.
Okay.
This is healing in the lesson. It's not pause. Okay.
Nice.
Okay, so let's heal, baby. One step at a time. So you just said because you want to do what?
What?
What did you just say? Because you're being what?
I'm waiting to excel.
No, stop. Now you want to not say what you just said, and people that were earnestly listening to you, they heard what you said.
What?
I want you to say it now. Because what? you're doing and being what? And so do say that so you can be delivered from that spirit.
What spirit?
Oh, my goodness.
What spirit?
Never mind. Okay, baby, let's go to the next chapter verse. Never mind. That was the opening for you. It's all good. So where do you want me to go now?
I need to be delivered from so many things. What you need to be delivered.
No, you need to. No, baby, that was your chance, so it's all good.
I only get one.
No, and maybe you'll get another one. I don't know.
Maybe.
But that was your moment right there to be delivered and to tell the truth. And now you're asking me another question, so let's move on.
All right. Anyway, what script we at?
And now you're asking me what script we're at.
Because we were defining Genesis chapter 3:16 contrary.
Exactly.
St. John 3:16, because St. John 3:16 deliver you from those things.
Okay.
Okay. Even though we're looking at them, that's the problem of us man.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's our darkness that we need to confess before God.
Mm-hmm.
That he said that we will not bring before him.
Mm-hmm.
No. Let's read that. Go to St. John. Go to St. John 3:16 and read that.
St. John chapter 3, verse 16 reads, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life."
From what? From Genesis 3:16. Continue.
17. "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved."
Mm-hmm.
"He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the Holy Begotten Son of God."
Mm-hmm.
"And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and that men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil."
Mm-hmm.
"For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved."
That's the sin of Adam, that he should have hid his sins in his what? Bosom, that his deeds would be what? Reproved. See that? That's how you get delivered from it. That we accept the correction. Continue.
21. "And he that doeth turneth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they were wrought in God."
See that? Let's look at this a little further. Let's go into Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and 25. Ecclesiastes 7 and 25, when you receive a reading.
Amen. Ecclesiastes
7
and
25
reads, "I applied my heart to know and to search and to seek out wisdom and the reason of things, and to know the way of the folly, even if
stop! Look up the word folly. What it says.
Folly. Lack of good sense.
Wait a minute, I searched that out too. I mean, I wanted to know what it's, I get the part about, okay, now, all right, I need to know what, go ahead.
Lack of good sense or normal prudence. Lack of good sense or normal prudence and foresight. His folly is thinking he cannot see. Criminally or tragically foolish actions or conduct.
Wickedness or folly.
Evil wickedness.
Wait, so you got a double portion.
Lewd behavior.
Lewd what?
Foolish after ideal. A foolish after ideal such as a prince.
A thought. It's a thought.
Such as a prince.
It's a thought.
Mm-hmm.
So folly is a thought. It's a thought first.
Mm-hmm.
So it ain't the action itself. It's actually the thought of it. Okay, let's look at that a little further. Let's keep reading. No, I'm talking about Ecclesiastes.
Okay.
Read 25 again.
7 and 25. I apply my heart to know and to search and to seek out wisdom and the reason of things and to know the wickedness of folly, even the foolishness of madness. And I find more bitter than death the woman, whose heart is snares and nets and her hands as bands, who pleases God shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be taken by her.
You see this? He said, I find more bitter than what?
I find more bitter than death.
Stop. You mean to tell me a man could actually feel better in a grave than with a wife with heart that's in this? That's written from the throne.
A wife that's what?
Heart that's in snares.
Mm-hmm.
Look
what,
up the word snare.
Snares, that's what I want to say. So, what does the word snare mean?
It means trap.
Mm-hmm.
It means cage.
So, it says snare. A trap for catching birds.
See,
or
now,
animals.
When did it become trapped?
How is a husband, how is a wife trapping her husband?
How is a heart? No, it's not. The thing is, he said it's not him, it's her. Her heart is as snares. So it's not him, period. This thing is as bitter as death is that her heart is as a snare. It's not about him. Read that again.
And it says, and I find more bitter than death. Bitter than death. The woman whose heart is snares and nets.
Snares. That's a plural.
And her hands as bands.
Now, what does the bands mean? Look at here. Now, look up the word snares out of my reject. Look it up in there. We're going to wrap this up at this point. Because now we get into the foolish part. I want to look at these three principles. I want to look at snares. I want to look up nets. And I want to look up bands. Got it. You found it. Snares.
Hold on, man. That's an A.
That's an A. Yeah.
Snare. So trap, bait, booby trap. Come on.
So she's planning. She's conniving. She's listen to that. That's a booby trap. That's a trap. Listen to what else he said behind that.
Deception.
So she is conniving.
Decoy, enticement, entrapment, lure, to net, to noose, to pitfall, quicksand, seducement, temptation, to trick, to wire, to catch, to trap, to arrest, to quarrel, to decoy, to entangle, to entrap, to get hands on, to involve, land, lure, net, to pull in, to round up, to seize, seduce, tempt, and wire.
Now, you know what they call that in the world? You know what they call that spirit in the world? Huh?
What do they call it?
A succubus. That's what that spirit is called in the world. Oh, you thought I didn't know.
I didn't say you didn't know.
Okay,
you
I just thought
listening.
I was listening to him. I was wondering what he was dealing with.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, that's what that spirit is called. Nets. Look up the word nets.
Nets. here next. Capture, catch, ensnare, hook, lasso, gain, after expense, to bring in, to clean up, to clear, to earn, to make a profit, to clean, make ready, to profit, to realize, to profiting after deduction, to profit after taxes, clear, excluding, exclusive,
ooh,
final, irreductible, pure,
what she can get out of it.
Pure, remaining, to take home, unadaptable, to mesh, to web cloth, fabric, lace work, capture, catch, ensnare, entangle, to hook, to lasso, to nab, to trap, to gain, after expenses, to accumulate, to bring in, to clean up, to clear, to make
that's
ready,
the same spirit.
To make ready, to earn, to make, to profit, to realize, to reap.
That's the exact same spirit.
That's the good and bad thing.
I can see that too, but we're not talking about that because we're talking about Ecclesiastes chapter 7. That's the good part. Ain't mentioning that in this verse here. But I'm looking at all the other stuff that he mentioned that was in line with what this verse is talking about, and that's horrible.
The word of snare?
Yeah, and nets.
So snare and net.
And what else? What's the third one? Bands. And her hands is as what? Bands. This is worse than death? What do bands mean?
I only saw a band, something which encircles, a bandage, to belt, to bind, to bond, to braid, to cable, to chain, to circle, to chirp.
Stop. That sounds like compass, because compass means a circle. And then he said, I'm going to bring this to him. He said, I'm going to do a new thing in the earth. The woman shall compass a man. There it is. That's the circle. But it's a band. It's the bind. Read on.
To join, to consolidate, to link, to manicure, ribbon, ring, rope, sash, scarf.
Manicure. Manicure means to.
Manicure. Manicure.
Yeah, that's the meaning. The demean.
M-A-N-A-C-I-E.
Yeah, it's the demean from whatever value that it is. Read on.
Food, literature, line, link, ribbon, ring, rope, sash, scarf, shackle, snood, stay, strap, string, stripe, tape, tie down, truck.
That's what.
Group of people with same interest. Body, bunch, click, club, cluster, collection, company, court. Crew, purvey, gang, gathering, menagerie. Outfit, party, society, troop, to assemble, to orchestra, group, or join group, affiliated, ally, belt, combine, conjoin, consolidate, federate, gather, league, merge, team, unite.
So, we see that this band means to bind. Whatever it may be, from least to the greatest. We see that throughout the scripture, that, you know, Israel will go out and get the greatest of the, you know, the renown of the camp and this, that, and the other, justify their madness. We got to be careful with them things. And then, you know, it had its good points in there, but that's not according to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Other words, that person is not a releaser. That person is not going to release you. That person ain't about releasing the fruits of the Spirit. That person is about capturing the fruits of the Spirit and binding them and not setting them free. That's the one who heart is in snares. So with that being said, we're gonna leave this here. Cause like we said, we're dealing with a series, man, called Women in the Church. We really sincerely believe that our mothers did a great job at presenting themselves before God. But then that was under the law of God. But then there are others that are not participating in the things that belong to God, and he referred to them as foolish ones or foolish women. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're dealing with, contrary to that. So I hope we got some understanding, and that the Father allow us to continue to grow, and that we, you know, see ourselves, you know, both men and women, you know, because we all present ourselves as God, kings and priests. So bone my bone, flesh my flesh, okay. That's all to it. All right, so the mics is open. If you have any questions or comments, feel free.
Amen.
Amen. So, oh, so seeing that we don't have any hands up,
I also have everybody's mic.
Okay, well, since we don't have any hands up. We want to be back here next Wednesday evening. God willing, we live for the Nation of Peace. Okay. Nation of Peace of Israelites coming out of Minneapolis. That's with your brother, Nakomi Swanson. We want to be here for that.
Yeah.
So, God willing, we live. We all meet each other in the midst of the week. So, in Jesus' name, I want to bid everybody a happy, happy first day. I hope a happy week and a blessed week. And we hope that we catch each other and good standards in the spirit. In Jesus' name, California.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and as we say here at the Sounds of Living Waters, do what?
Read your Bibles,
people.
Shalom.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
Teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under his love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.